What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dense Pixels Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, joined by my co-hosts, Micah.
Hey.
And back from her crisscrossing the country in a metal tube several times is Carrie.
Yes. I'm going to be going right back to crisscrossing the country in a metal tube next week, but I'm here today. I'm here now.
So you have been you've been missing for the past several shows. So I am curious, what have you been video games in these past several weeks?
Still working my way through Tears of the Kingdom. I'm almost done. I haven't beaten it yet. My main quest at this point is go kill Ganondorf. So like I'm at the end of the game now. You know, given everything I've done, Spirit Temple, all that. I know that like the next step is like just doing the last boss. Mm-hmm. So I might even do that this week. But I haven't because I started playing Baldur's Gate 3. Because all my friends have been playing Baldur's Gate 3 and I saw it all over my Twitter feed and mm-hmm. and I was like, fuck, I love D&D. I like the earlier Baldur's Gate games. I want to play this game. And I kept trying to talk myself out of it by basically being like, I shouldn't be spending that money right now. And I need to finish Tears of the Kingdom. And then, as it turns out, the game had been purchased for me mm-hmm. on my birthday last year as a pre-order. And I fucking forgot that had happened. So I was looking at the store page and it was like buy as a gift. And I was like, the fuck you mean buy as a gift? I would want to buy it for myself. And then like I looked in my library and I was like, oh, I already have it. So that turned into me being like, I'm just going to install it and I'll just make my character and I'm not going to get that into myself. You know, like a liar. Mm-hmm. And now I've got like 30 hours in the game and I finished Act 1 last night. And
what are you playing?
I am playing a tiefling bard. I am playing a recreation of my main D&D character from the longest running campaign I had ever been a part of. I'm playing him the way that I would play him at the table. I'm really looking forward to the level of replayability that I know is present in this game to be able to go back and to, you know, play the kind of like, I have a wizard character I've been kicking around for a while and haven't really gotten to play and that sort of thing. So it's like, for me, Baldur's Gate 3 is an excuse to play all of the D&D characters that I never really got to finish playing in various other campaigns. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's real good.
It's what I've been continuing to do is just playing that. I will say, so one of the coolest things about this game, and I touched on this last week when I talked about it, is that, like, crazy things will just happen with no warning or build up or anything like that. You put yourself into relatively mundane situations and wild shit happens. And that is awesome. It has also forced me to just fucking embrace some mild save scumming because there are things that happen and you don't realize the downstream impact of not succeeding at certain things. And so, I've been forced to go back. Like there was a major thing in Act 2 that happened that I'm not going to talk about at all because it's too spoilery. And I didn't come out, the result was negative. And I ended my gaming session. Like, I did a few more things and I turned in for the night. And then I realized, I was like, well, what happens if you were to save this character? And then, like, I read a guide on online that's like, yeah, like, you can play the game, like, if this person dies. But, man, like, it's really, like it closes off a lot of side quests. And, like, it makes this thing really, I'm just like, ah, fuck, like, I'm going to go back. I'm gonna go back with foresight and knowledge that this event is going to happen and make different choices because I don't want to lock myself out from all these things. I'm really trying to play it, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But there are certain things that I feel like, you know, when they blindside you with crazy shit, I have to give myself a chance to make right, I guess. And also I found out that I just need to slow the fuck down. Like I was barreling through Act Two and I realized I was barreling through Act Two. And so I forced myself to just like back off a little bit and go explore some other shit. And I stumbled upon, a crazy side quest thing that's very long and drawn out that can happen in what seems like a very innocuous part of the game that you first stumble upon by accident. Early on in a special cave that some people invite you to. So, and that was very cool. and I'm glad that I took some time to experience that and go through that content and have a really cool boss fight, in a forge is all I'll say. Those of you that have played that boss fight will know what I'm talking about, but there's a really cool boss fight that takes place inside of a forge that really make use of the different mechanics of the game. Which is really fun. And so, yeah, it's continued to be a fucking joy. I've been just playing a ton of it, and that's what I'm going to probably be playing mostly until Starfield comes out, where I will put it to the side and play Starfield and then easily come back to Baldur's Gate 3, because I feel like it's a game that you can really return to without much, without many qualms. I don't feel like so.
Yep.
Mike, you should be really looking forward to
I really am, and I'm trying to tune out this conversation of the haves versus the haves.
I can't wait to hear I can't wait to hear you talk about it when you get your hands on it, because I'm really curious to see what you think, because like I said, me and Carrie are predisposed to liking these sorts of things. So,
well, I mean, you know, I've been looking for a game like the original Dragon Age for a very long time.
Oh, that is this. First. Yeah.
Yeah, that game is very special to me. And I think that game is a joy. And in all of the iterations that I've played of it. And I'm very much looking forward to this. That's the comparison that I got, right? Like, so I heard someone's review and they said, like, not since Dragon Age Origins has like an RPG hit them like this. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. So let's get into probably the biggest news that came, and this news was a surprise to me. It sure seems like that Microsoft is willing to do whatever they have to do to get this deal over the line. So, of course, all they have to do is clear it with the CMA, which is the England, or the UK regulatory agency that approves these mergers. And if you recall, their big reason for denying the merger was centered in the dominance that Microsoft would have in the cloud gaming space, perhaps the most bizarre reason to turn down this deal that I could think of. Microsoft is bending over backwards to alleviate this concern because they have announced that they will sell the streaming rights for Call of Duty, Overwatch, and basically all the other Activision Blizzard games to Ubisoft as part of this deal to get it over the line. So essentially, what's going to happen? What that means is that Ubisoft will be able to stream Microsoft or Activision and Blizzard games on their Uplay service. But also that Microsoft will essentially have to license their own games for streaming from Ubisoft if they want to stream them on the Xbox cloud gaming service.
Yep.
Which is a weird agreement. And this is going to be a 15-year agreement that has the rights being held in perpetuity by Ubisoft.
I mean, this is I don't know, man. This is wild. Like, anything for money. It's like, hey guys, I know that we aren't exactly buddy buddy, but like, I really need this thing to happen, man. So.
You know what's wild to me? It's just wild to me that it's of all the companies, like, I want to know who initiated this agreement. Well, did Ubisoft come to Microsoft and was like, hey, I've got a great idea? Did Microsoft just, like, pitch this to any streaming service provider that was willing to listen? like, I almost feel like it would have been easier for them just to go to Sony, almost, and be like, do you just want to put this on the PlayStation cloud service?
Well, I feel like they're like, I feel like Microsoft internally is like, yo, nobody uses Uplay.
That's true.
I wonder if it's them going to Ubisoft because they know that licensing back from Ubisoft would be much cheaper than trying to license back from Sony.
I'm also curious to know that this can't be, there has to be some underlying interest in this deal that's probably either not readily publicly known yet or is not just not, or is maybe like under the table. Like, I'd be very curious to know if there's any other parameters or make goods or anything like that. Like I'm going to be real curious to see how many Ubisoft titles over the next several years have my Xbox as their lead marketing platform. That just, you know, coincidentally just happens to be this way. Like, what a weird coincidence that we entered into this, this agreement. And then all of a sudden, like, we are now like tightly joined at the hip.
Yeah,
it's funny. Isn't that like a business term for this, right? Like when companies just kind of like collude like this.
It's literally collusion. Like that
is the term. There you go.
And well, what's also interesting to me about this is that this agreement lasts for 15 years, and Ubisoft is a large publisher, but they're not so large that I'm confident that they will exist as an independent entity for the entire 15-year agreement. And I'd be very curious to see where they could potentially end up, because we've seen already, you know, we've seen a hostile takeover try to happen. We've seen them whore themselves out a little bit to see if there's any fish, you know, that would be willing to buy. The chaos side of me really just wants to see like Sony eventually acquire Ubisoft one day, and Sony would then be licensing back Call of Duty and other Blizzard games to Microsoft to stream. That would be very funny to me. But we'll see. I found this news fascinating. We have not seen an agreement to this scale, anything like this. And I'll also be interested to see the CMA's response and if this alleviates the concerns that they had, or if this won't move the needle on getting over the finish line. So I would imagine, though, that part of making this move was, you know, in conjunction with the talks that they're having with the CMA. And probably, like, the CMA probably knew something like this was going to happen before it even happened, so... Fascinating. Like I said, this is the kind of shit that makes me really fucking love the fucking nerd, you know, corporate side of this industry, is when crazy shit like this happens. So very strange.
It's wild just because you know, I've been playing these things for almost 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people still think like, oh, the video games, they're just toys, right? But, like, yeah, there's a whole business behind toys. You know what right. I mean? Like they're just like any other, you know, major corporation. Like, they want to make money, and they want to do what they got to do to make it, right? Like, it's wild, like, growing up. And like, and we are in a unique position where we grew up with it. Like, we are some of the first generations to grow up with this as it matured, whereas these, you know, young punks now, their first, you know, you ever see one of those memes where it's like, here's 9 controllers and like, which one's your first one? And someone's like, the PS3. Like, what the fuck?
Well, and what's funny is that like, this kind of like weird, like, you know, corporate shenanigans have actually in the video game industry existed as long as we've been following, or like as long as we've been playing games. Like the most famous example that comes to mind is, and for you youngins out there, you might not realize this. So when the NES was first blowing up, they literally had a hard limit for each, like, for how many games a publisher could publish on the NES in a single year. And so what we saw in the late 80s and early 90s is we saw this like weird industry where publishers would create independent labels, essentially, that they would publish games under to get around this arbitrary limit that Nintendo placed on third-party publishers, the most famous of which is probably Konami would also publish games under the Ultra Games label. And like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games came out under Ultra Games, and there was a lot of different examples of other companies doing the same thing. So like this kind of shit's always been around. We just weren't really aware of it back then. We just thought Ultra Games was this cool company that had the Ninja Turtles license. we had no idea like the crazy behind the scenes things that were going on, because Nintendo always has operated as a very strange and unique corporation in a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, I think at least at that time in the late 80s and early 90s, that was mostly a move to prevent what had happened in 1983.
Yes, from happening I agree. Again. Yeah, prevent the swamping of games.
You know, it was world. You get a hard cap on games that you put out, so you better fucking make them good.
Which then makes, you know, what happened on the Wii one of history's great ironies.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? You know what else is funny? Us. And our listeners. So go to densepixels.com/fans and get invited to our Discord. And when you do, you'll be funny. And
maybe.
Well, yeah, that's a big maybe.
Some of y'all need work, all right?
but all of you can take a joke. Which is good. So go to densepixels.com/fans, get invited into our Discord, and participate. Help us program the show with the post office. And remember to post there even when Carrie's not here to remind you.
I got another busy few weeks coming up. All right. I'm here when I can be.
Go to youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe and click the bell and do all that and comment. Leave a comment, even if it's just like an ellipses, right? Because that counts as engagement. So go to youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe. Subscribe to all of the podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, including the Nerdpocalypse, Black on Black Cinema, Coming Distractions, and the weekly preview episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast. And if that's not enough, go to densepixels.com/premium for $5 a month or $50 for the year. You get access to the premium slate of podcasts, including the airing of grievances. Terrence and I are trying to get Jay to get off his ass. and like the coward that he is, he's blaming his daughter. And it's like, well, when she goes back to school.
So. I'm just putting it out there that you guys are moving into that. Even though the episodes aren't as like good from a content standpoint, you're moving into the irreverent seasons of Seinfeld, which are some of my favorite seasons because they're just so fucking off the wall.
They're wacky. Twix is the only candy with the cookie crunch.
Okay.
The Man with the Golden Tongues, Upstage Conversation, and the full episode of the weekly Look Forward Political Podcast. That gets updated weekly. Gotta imagine, I know I say this every week, I gotta imagine that this week is going to be very interesting.
I mean,
when is the GOP debate?
GOP, so as we're recording this, the GOP debate is tomorrow, and the former president is turning himself in at the Fulton County Jail to be arrested by the Big Boss Man on Thursday, and we're recording on Thursday night, so there should be hijinks to be had on the show this week for sure.
They're gonna weigh him.
I can't wait. It's literally the thing I'm the most excited about. Like I said, we've had his fucking doctors when he was president, like fucking lying their ass. Oh, he weighs 239 pounds. No, he doesn't.
Yo, Donald Trump does not weigh less than me. Yo, and come on. Like, get out of here, man. Get out of here. So, look, the premium is worth it for Look Forward alone. And then you get access to all of the back catalog of stuff. So densepixels.com/premium.
You mentioned the YouTube comments, and I have to say, so I do read the YouTube comments like once a month, and I leave like reactions. And I gotta say, some asshole, and this comes up on Look Forward sometimes as well. Some asshole said that I looked like I'd just come back from filming like The Sound of Freedom, which is, you know, something I get it on Look Forward occasionally, having this complexion and this beard, like I understand, oh, yeah. I understand on, where it on comes from.
Yeah, guitar, you've yeah. been singing about Richmond with a yeehaw,
steel guitar. Richmond, north of Richmond.
Like, and you know what? Part of me like kind of enjoys that. Like part of me loves like when fucking right wing idiots like come across Look Forward and they see me. And they're just like, oh, this fucking white guy's gonna fuck give it to that black dude. Like he's gonna, and then they get really pissed off when like I turn the tables on them and they
figure out you're a race traitor.
Yes.
I can't remember what the setup. I know there's a red, white, and blue kind of like look to Look Forward, but I would love it if like you have the screen is red. Like just
it used to be. Like, it used to be. Now the background is all blue. But when we first started, Jay definitely had me on the red side, and I told him, I was like, I feel like you did this on purpose to try to deceive new viewers coming in. They're just like, oh, this fucking white guy is gonna back us up, and he's gonna put that black dude in his place. And I was like, no, like I'm actually the Ed McMahon to his Johnny Carson. Like I don't think you realize. I don't think you know how this works. Speaking of politics and gaming and all sorts of stuff. So a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if we talked about this or not. So the Embracer Group had their quarterly shareholders meeting, right? And so their CEO talked about how they had this big deal lined up for like $2 billion of capital coming into the company, and the deal fell through. And like him announcing this like made their stock price plummet, which is bad because Embracer Group has overextended themselves. And they have a lot of assets. They have a lot of assets even outside of the video game industry. They have the largest board game publisher in the world under their umbrella. So like this could have a lot of far-reaching knock-on effects. And people were wondering, they're like, who was this deal potentially with that had $2 billion in capital coming in to the Embracer Group if it wasn't like an acquisition deal? And according to reports from Axios, we should not be at all surprised that the $2 billion funder was the Savvy Games Group. And if you don't know who the Savvy Games Group is, they are essentially the forward face of the gaming investment division of the Saudi Arabia Public Invested Fund, which is basically the Saudi government fund that they are using to spend billions and billions of dollars on a variety of industries across the world to put a big happy face on Saudi Arabia so that everyone forgets that they are some of the worst human rights violators in the entire world, and hate freedom of speech, and in fact murder journalists for speaking out against their human rights practices. So I don't think anyone should be surprised that it was Saudi. Now, the question is, did the Saudi government pull out because they're not putting as many chips in the table in the video game industry anymore? Or is the Embracer Group literally that much of a fucking trash fire that even the Saudi government was like, oh, like we're going to go ahead and step away from this, like Homer Simpson going back into the bush?
I mean, I think it's worth noting that Embracer had actually already received a $1 billion investment from the public investment fund last year. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely possible that they weren't seeing the kind of returns on that investment that they were expecting to see and were like, no, we're not giving you guys any more money. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's a very reasonable take on that. Any time that the Saudi government like gets in any of these industries, like it does make me feel some kind of way. And I know we've talked about on the show before that, you know, it's a reality we're gonna have to live with. I mean, they have like a, you know, many, you know, they have a certain percentage stake in Nintendo, and you know, as long as they're government beliefs don't find their way into like the end product. It's, you know, it's something that you can kind of easily skirt past. But they're going to be involved more and more into things. You know, again, we see that they, in the Premier League, you know, they famously have the majority stake now in Newcastle United, and Newcastle is, you know, a much better club than they were 3 years ago. And, you know, people are like, they know where it comes from. And the other worst part is that other oil states are, or other petrol states are seeing that positive reinforcement. And now other petrol governments are looking to kind of do the same thing, which fucking sucks. So in my opinion, not to bring too much look forward onto the show, but Micah, you can say your line. It's very apt.
Get your politics out of my video games, please.
Yeah.
For the love of God. It's almost like you can't help it.
Yeah.
It's almost like it permeates throughout everything. Yeah, I mean, like, I get your feelings. But, you know, at the same time, like, everybody's got skeletons. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, that's why I never understand the incredibly, like, the holier than thou Puritan, like, aspect of, like, well, I'm not going to participate in anything that I think is, you know, that might have ties to something morally questionable. You won't be participating in a lot of things.
Ethical consumption under capitalism.
That's Perry's line. Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, I don't know what else to say other than, you know, politics. Ugh. I want to be Lenny Kravitz with a samurai sword and a mojito. I don't know what kind of drink that is. But I want to be that guy. Not have a thing about politics. And just shoot people with a samurai sword and a drink in my hand or something. Yeah, I don't know, man. Speaking of capitalism, go to densepixels.com/Amazon.
Hell yeah.
When you do, you'll be participating. You'll be part of the problem.
But hell yeah, brother.
But if you wanna make yourself feel good, like you're buying carbon credits or some fucking nonsense, you can go to densepixels.com/Amazon. And we get a little bit of a kickback from the purchase that you're making. Let's go to Amazon. Let's go to densepixels.com.
Wait, did we? Right.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
I haven't forgotten it.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to see if there's something that I can recommend on densepixels.com/Amazon, but I don't want everyone to know what my wife is buying. and I haven't bought anything in a very long while. So we'll go to my wish list. Let's see. Let's go to my wish list at densepixels.com/Amazon. You can purchase... Where's mine? You got the kids, you got me?
I don't know. You probably have the same problem that I do. So my Kindle recommendations on Amazon are so broken right now because my wife reads way more books than I do, and all she's been reading is fucking hockey romance porn. And so everything that I am offered is just smut and garbage and like on the advertisement that's on my Kindle when it's in standby mode, it's always some fucking, like, you know, like fucking romance novel where it's like, oh, like, he's got a little bit of a dark side to him, but she can bring... I'm just like, this is insane. What is going on?
He's also a werewolf.
Right, like, you've corrupted my Rex. God damn it.
You can go to densepixels.com slash Amazon and get yourself a Sony A7 III full-frame mirrorless camera. For the low price of...
Please do that.
Yeah, no kidding. For the low, low price of $1,998. They Walmart. They Walmarted you. So yeah, please do that. Please go to densepixels.com/Amazon and get yourself a Sony A7 III full frame mirrorless camera. And after you go to densepixels.com/Amazon and get yourself a Sony A7 III full frame mirrorless camera, send it to me.
Before we get into the post office, as I put in the docket, let's a go away, apparently. Charles Martinet, according to Nintendo, is no longer the voice of Mario or Luigi or Wario after he has voiced those characters.
Or Waluigi.
Or Waluigi after he has voiced those characters for damn near 30 years at this point. 96 was the first time that we got to hear his voice. This is my favorite statement ever. Let me see. I'm trying to think. Yeah, here we go. Charles Martinet has been the original voice of Mario in Nintendo games for a long time, as far back as Super Mario 64. Charles is now moving into the brand new role of Mario Ambassador. With this transition, he will be stepping back from recording character voices for our games, but he will continue to travel the world, sharing the joy of Mario and interacting with you all.
It just means he's going to be their fucking press guy now, which is great. You know, that's great for him. You know, to voice any character for as long as Charles Martinet has voiced Mario is an incredible achievement when it comes to voice acting in general. I think we're all going to feel as though something is probably lacking in future Mario titles accordingly. Though I doubt they're going to be moving in much of a different direction as far as the voice of Mario is concerned. And I think it's pretty clear. I'm sure he had the voice recorded for Wonder, which I believe comes out in just a couple months now.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no, they're saying that people first noticed it because the voice that you heard in the Wonder trailer sounds different.
It's different.
Yeah.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah. So I don't think he is doing that. So.
So look, I wonder. I mean, he's in his mid late 60s now. I have to wonder if part of this is just like he just physically can't do it anymore.
Or he's like, you know, I'm ready to fucking chill.
He's also probably ready to retire. Right. You know, he's had a pretty extensive career outside of all the Mario titles, too. Mm-hmm. I think most notably people probably would remember him as Parthenax in Skyrim. That was a big one, because when people were like, what the fuck is the Mario guy? It's like, yeah, because, you know, he's a voice actor. He can do a lot of different voices.
Because Let's-A-Go is the only voice he can. That's his actual voice, folks. That's his voice.
That's just how he sounds all
Let's
the time.
Let's-A-Go, It's Me, Mario, and So Long, Gay Bowser were the three lines. The three lines that he recorded for Mario 64.
Yeah. I mean, he's also like, yeah, he's done a lot. Dating back to the 80s, he's done a lot of voice acting and other acting. I went to a little show called Mag West, and at Mag West, I was treated to a special limited showing of a made-for-TV movie called Who Stole Our Baby Tiger? And it featured Charles Martinet in the lead role as a detective. It's really stupid. High key, one of the dumbest films I've ever seen. But it was, you know, it was Charles Martinet as a somewhat flamboyant detective traipsing around a zoo trying to figure out who stole their baby tiger. But, you know, ultimately, I'm sure he is still going to be doing acting and voice acting. Otherwise, you know, he's done other stuff within the last few years. He was involved in the dub of Dragon Ball Super Superhero when that came out last year, and, you know, plenty of other video games over the years as well. But, you know, obviously to be told that, like, the voice of such an iconic character such as Mario, the guy who's only ever been the person to voice him, is moving away from the character, I think it's a pretty big deal. Yeah. I got to meet Charles at Too Many Games a couple years ago. I was dressed in my Daisy outfit. He was very funny about it because I have Daisy's golf outfit that I cosplay. And he was like, oh, you know, pretty girls walk over with a golf club tend to make me a little nervous, but I think your intentions are better than the last time this happens.
I've also met him. Like I said, he seems like a delightful man. So
I'm looking forward to seeing Nintendo said they're putting out a video that I'm sure will be him and Miyamoto sort of handing the reins over to whoever the next voice actor is going to be.
Chris Pratt.
Honestly, you know, for as much shit as we gave Chris Pratt when he was announced for the Mario movie, I still think he did a perfectly fine job.
I still have not seen it yet. We got it for my son, and we've tried to get him to sit down and watch it, and he wants nothing to do with it right now. So that's very strange, because he loves Mario. So,
but yeah, I hope he enjoys his retirement. He seems to be a guy who travels around quite a bit just for fun. So I hope he still does those little videos where he has like the Mario figures with him at his vacation destination and is just shooting stupid little videos voicing Mario in like France or wherever. So
you can leave us a question by joining our Discord and going to densepixels.com/fans in our post office, where we will answer them for you on the show. Just like Daniel did, who says, rough estimate, how many games do you think that you have put significant time into? And he defines significant time as 10 plus hours of playtime.
I don't think that's significant time. video game terms
yeah,
I think anything more than a day, right?
I think 25 is probably my like significant time, kind of like if I have lost the day of my life to the game, that's a significant amount of time.
See, I guess it's going to vary game to game, because there are some games where you, unless you replay it several times, you literally cannot put in more than 20 hours into. So I guess that's a fair barometer. So if we're going to hold to that standard, if we're going to say 25 hours is a significant time in a game, I would have to imagine, and obviously like we're just ballparking, I'd put the low estimate at 150 games for me that I've put that much time into in my life.
Yeah, over the course of my life, I would probably go, 150 to 200. I'm just looking through my Steam library now and seeing how many games have have a lot of games in them.
I don't know. I feel like that's low. But I'm old. I'm older than you. I'm not that much older than Brad, but I'm like a half a generation older than Carrie. And yeah, I feel like that's kind of low, man. Like, I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like an entire, like 300, 350, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy.
Yeah, sorry, I just saw how much time I put into Stardew Valley, and it's a lot more than I did. Whoops.
Now, I wonder how many, so like, if we stretch that out to like the extreme example, I'm trying to think of how many games I know I've put in over 100 hours into. And that's a much smaller list, obviously.
Yeah. But I mean, I can probably, like, I could turn on my PlayStation and I would imagine that like everything on that first row is over 100 hours.
Yeah.
Like Diablo, over 100. Street Fighter, over 100.
Through my Steam library, there's already like 20 over 100. And that's just on Steam. That's not counting any of the times, you know, any of my shit on.
And also too, like, remember that I used to play like sports sims multiple seasons, like of Madden, you know, like full length MLB seasons in the show. So like all those games would have to be on that list. you know, on my Steam page, I think that I, or on my Steam account, I think I have like 6 games that are over 100 hours, and I haven't even been using Steam that long, really. So then you move into PlayStation. Like, I'd say over 100 hours, I probably have lifetime, let's say 25 games that I've spent that much time in, give or take.
Yeah, I feel like that's slow. I feel like maybe if I had like 300 games, I feel like almost a third of that.
Really?
I feel like I've put over 100 hours. Because you got to remember, man, like I'm including like portable games and like
you are the guy that put 320 hours or whatever it was into Dissidia Final Fantasy. The only person I know that put that level. He max leveled every character in the game.
Yeah, man. Like,
I don't know why I'm friends with you, dude.
I remember when we were talking about it at GameStop, and I was just like, how much have you played this game? And Mike is like, hang on a second. He literally whips his pee. Like Mike has stopped by during his lunch break because he's working downtown at the time, and he whips out his PSP and pulls up his memory card and shows me the time spent. And I literally think my reaction then was, Jesus fucking Christ. What do you do at work all day? And apparently the answer is play Final Fantasy. Oh my goodness gracious. So yeah, I will tell you I'm nowhere near Ricky's, who also posted in the post office, I'm nowhere near Ricky's 2700 hours in Destiny 2. Which is a lot of Destiny 2. Ricky has literally like four times the amount of my Destiny 2 time, and I played a lot of Destiny 2. and Ricky quadrupled it. So,
yeah.
T-Wash says, glad to have you back, Carrie. Have any of you hated a game because of an advertisement for that game? They hated Mass Effect Andromeda because YouTube kept playing the commercial with the I'm Only Human song going over it.
In my time working at GameStop, there were definitely a handful of
games
that had really obnoxious songs on the ads. There was one, I think it might have been the original Destiny, that used like an Imagine Dragon song, and I was like, I fucking hate this.
No, it was, so the original Destiny used Led Zeppelin. Remember that. So I remember that one. See, I tend to remember the good ads, but now Carrie's making me think back to my GameStop. Oh, never mind. I know the answer to this. And it is specific. It is partially because I worked at GameStop. Fallout 76. I had an irrational hate towards the game before it even came out because of the amount of times that I had to hear
West Country Virginia! Roads,
take me home. In relation to that fucking game on the GameStop.
Here's a game I've got more than 100 hours in.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And would later cover Country Roads with the orchestra, specifically because of Fallout 76.
Yeah, so I know I've given that game a lot of shit, but it started on a bad foot with me because of that fucking commercial that I had to hear over and over and over again. God, that's that. Any games where I do have an answer for this, will be directly tied to GameStop because of how many times I had to hear. Certain advertisements over and over again.
Yeah, GameStop TV was just, oh my god, man! It played incessantly, and you don't realize it until you work there, man. Like, I only worked at GameStop part time. I cannot imagine what it would be like. That's to be in there
5 days a week and to have fucking
5 days a week, 8 hours a day, just having those two goofballs, whichever two there were that day.
The best, the one upside, I just remember, like, I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but there was one especially obnoxious ad where, when I was still working at the Towson Mall GameStop, because that was the only one that I worked at where you could actually hit the button underneath the television to force a reset. And it's like, I would be working and I would hear and I would just reset it. Because I knew it would at least like turn the TV off for like the 2 minutes it would take for it to restart.
I didn't hate this game, but I do remember being really annoyed by the ad for Forza Horizon. Because it had Kanye's Stronger would play over top of the ad constantly, and I got really tired of that fucking song. for a while. So yeah, there's a few of those. There's a few of those. I mean, generally, I remember I tend to remember songs and gaming commercials that are like highlights. Like I remember like the Mad World cover from the Gears of War 2 commercial that I think most people probably remember. All the Destiny commercials are always the live action ones are usually really good. And they had good musical choices for those too. So those tend to stick in my mind. But now, yeah, like this question made it all come rushing back. God damn it. No, not that Gerard. It is that Gerard, though. Says, what are some great recommendations for mobile games? I've been playing Marvel Snap a lot during my bored periods at work, and when the little one is sleeping, I'm still loving it, but I wanted to see what other options are out there. Thank you all, as always, for bringing the awesome content. I enjoy everything you all do. Well, thank you very much. I find that mobile games tend to lose steam for me. At there's diminishing returns. Like I've gotten heavily into a lot of mobile games, but for very short periods of time. Marvel Snap was one, Puzzle Quest 3 was one. Now there are some genuinely great games that just happen to also be on mobile. Like you can get Slay the Spire on mobile, for example, and that's a great game that you can play on your phone, and it would work probably the same. Hearthstone still is pretty decent if you like trading card games. I haven't played it in a long time, but you know the foundation is good on Hearthstone, so I would imagine that it is probably pretty solid as well.
I have no suggestions. I only
play
Pokemon Go.
Sorry. I stopped playing Marvel Snap, but that's a very good choice. Apparently, it's coming out on PC soon.
It's been out on PC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have games on here that are just like fine. There's this car game, this car like spy hunter type game called Agent Intercept, which is fine for a little bit, and it doesn't have like a bunch of annoying ads. There's a game called Odyssey, which is really cool. And you know what I like to play? I like to play like rhythm games, where there's like a song and it's like Guitar Hero or whatever. I like to play those type of games, but games nowadays have just like a bunch of ads all over the place, or buy this, and it's just annoying. So
yeah.
As soon as Marvel Snap started doing that, it really turned me off.
And that is the problem with a lot of, most mobile games for that matter, is that they have those predatory designs where you know they're there to hook you in the first two or three hours, and then you have to start either waiting a while, and they encourage you to open your wallet. I'll give you two more recommendations, actually. Grindstone, which I think is only on Apple Arcade, I really enjoyed a lot, so much that I ended up buying it on the Switch as well. So that's a good one. And Vampire Survivors is on mobile, too. I haven't played the mobile port, so I don't know how it plays. But considering the controls for that game are pretty simple, it should probably work pretty well. Also, Vampire Survivors came out on the Switch last week. And if you haven't fucking played Vampire Survivors, open your wallet for $5 and fucking play Vampire Survivors because it's great. And you will enjoy it, I promise. It is very fun and an excellent game. So Switch and PC and mobile. Check that out. M. Rogers asks, how long was your longest straight hours gaming session and what game was it? He thinks Carries might be one of the Golden Sun games due to Extra Life, but they could be wrong.
That's probably up there in so much that like I rarely will do like a 12-hour straight session unless it's for something like a charity stream like that. I'm not doing Extra Life this year. I got too much shit going on this fall. Sorry. It is what it is. I've done the first Golden Sun in like a single 12 or 13 hour setting before. Outside of that, I've definitely like, I mean, I want to say when I was like a kid and didn't have any fucking responsibilities, I probably had some weekends like right after a new Pokemon game came out where it's like, that's all I did. It was just like play Pokemon for 16 hours that day or some shit like that. So.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, like when I had first moved out, Mm-hmm. Like, and I had nothing to do. I remember just like my friends called it poop socking it. Which is just like, you know. And so, yeah, I remember just like sitting there all day. Not like a 24-hour period, but maybe like 11 hours, 10 or 11 hours straight of just like not doing anything and just playing a game.
I remember the answer to this question distinctly. I remember the year was 2010. The Saturday, so Mass Effect 2 came out on PlayStation 3 for the first time on a Friday. The following Saturday, I went to work in the morning. I called out sick at 11 a.m. and went home for the rest of the day. And I played Mass Effect 2 for 14 consecutive hours because I was so excited to play that game. And I did not want to put it down. And it was amazing. So that is my longest consecutive streak of playing a video game. Casa asks, what control scheme felt most second nature, fits like a glove for you, be it a particular weapon style, character, car manufacturer, overall gameplay, etc.?
You know, everybody hates charge characters. I don't know why. I prefer them. I think they, but I guess it's because I'm more of a defensive player to begin with. So maybe that's it. And I don't, you know, I try to pick my openings, whereas most people are just like, I fought a Cammy the other day and I'm just like, oh, this person is fucking annoying, because it's just like, you know, I'm coming at you with no thought. And, you know, I gotta play the classic Guile style of just like block, 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 block to wait for them to mess up. It's really annoying. But yeah, I don't know why people don't like charge characters. And maybe that's probably why Street Fighter is the only game that I actually feel confident in. Like, I like Tekken a lot, but I'm not really comfortable in Tekken. Like, if I beat you, like, you had a real bad match. and Mortal Kombat, my brain can't process how that game plays, right? It's all dialer combo, but like, I see people doing all this cool looking shit, and I'm just like, yo, I can't. Here's a four hit combo. Like, I can't do it. So yeah, charge characters feel good to me.
I remember that when I first played Arkham Asylum, that control scheme of having, you know, the attack button, the counter button, the dodge, and the whatever circle did, I can't remember what, felt like really intuitive right away. And the thing that was brilliant about it, and this is why that control scheme was adopted in several other games, is because it made you feel like a badass, even though you were doing relatively simple movements, because the animations matched the, belied the simplicity of the control scheme. So I thought that was really smart and works really well. And in matter of fact, is I would argue is underutilized. Like there's a time where it was overutilized when it first appeared, and now people have backed away from it. You really only see it in like Spider-Man nowadays, for the most part. The other thing that I think surprised me at how much I liked it was in the NHL games when I used to play those. They switched from, you know, having your shooting mapped onto the face buttons to the right analog stick. And I thought that I would hate that, but it actually made the game feel much more intuitive. And you could, again, do a lot of cool shit relatively simply by mapping your shooting mechanics to the right analog stick. So those are the two that stand out to me.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm a Lance man in Monster Hunter because I like to block big hits and not have to move out of the way because my reflexes aren't good enough for me to dodge.
But it's cool that that's there for you.
It is. It's nice that it's there. It's nice that I can be basically a power bottom in Monster Hunter.
Gustavo says, getting married soon. Any advice?
I am not the person that asked, right? Or I'm a great person to ask because I'm in the middle of a divorce. Hope you know what you're doing, man.
One, congratulations. There are three pieces of advice that I can give you that, in all seriousness, I think will help you. One, it's paramount, is open and honest communication. Seriously. Like, even if it's a hard conversation, and you're going to have, like, hard conversations about money, you're going to have hard conversations about, like, because you're two different people, right? You're two different people, and now you are together. Right? Like, don't lose your individuality, but like, mm-hmm. you are together. And the only way you're going to survive it is through open and honest communication. Second piece of advice is try your best not to go to bed angry.
Because at least not at each other.
At each other, right. Like, try not to be angry at each other. Don't go to bed angry at each other, because that is... stuff like that festers, and you know, it's not a good look. And the third thing is open and honest communication. I cannot stress that enough, yo. I cannot stress that enough. The people in my immediate family, right? Not my wife and kids, but like the people I grew up with, we have a terrible issue with open and honest communication. And my father and I had a big blow up recently because all of that came out. And if we had open and honest communication, we could figure out what to do with it. And that was with the people that birthed me. So this person that you just are stacking up with for life, right? Like, you need to have open and honest communication. That is the best piece of advice that I can give you.
I have two pieces of advice.
I want to second that. I also want to stress that, like, make sure that you're on the same page with this person about things that are important to you about before you fucking sign any papers, right? Before you get legally entangled with them. Make sure that you are on the same page about finances. Make sure that you are on the same page about kids.
Kids,
especially, dude, because I have known too many fucking people who have gotten married and then did not have the kids conversation and then ended up splitting because the two people wanted very different things when it came to kids. Have these conversations before you sign those fucking papers, dude. Make sure that you guys are aligned as far as what you want out of life. Make sure you guys are aligned as far as, like, if you both want kids, how the fuck you're going to raise your kids? You know, are you going to be raising them? Like, what kind of schooling are you going to be putting them through? Like, you need to have these, you know, conversations ahead of time as far as, like, what that's going to look like. Because if you have these conversations after the fact and turns out you're not as compatible as you thought you were, you're in for a fucking world of shit, dude.
And I don't know how old you are, but, like, young people don't have these conversations for some reason. Because it's like, oh, love. Like, all right, I get it, right? I love my wife, too. But, like, we got married at 35 and 36, right? Like... nah, yo, you want kids? Cause I want them, and I'm old, so we need to get going, right? Like, like, y'all gotta be on the same page. But that, again, open and honest communication about literally everything.
Yeah.
My advice is twofold. I will continue the kids argument. If there are no kids in the picture yet, and if there are no kids that are currently on the way, take some time to just be together with just the two of you. Before you have kids, enjoy just being married for a little while before you bring kids into the mix. I'm glad that I did that with my wife. That was a great boon. And secondly, no matter what happens, you know, if you have kids or you don't have kids or whatever, always make sure that you find some time to take for just you two together. Like make sure you do things just the two of you together, as often as you can. Because obviously you enjoy this person's company, I would presume, if you were marrying them. So always make sure that you take some time to do some things together and apart from each other as well.
You got to date your spouse, but also Like, you can't, like,
God damn, yeah, you do. Yeah, you,
gotta,
you do.
Me and my wife, we just look, and as you get older and you got kids, like, dating is real expensive, right?
And it's
like,
hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
You ain't got time, you ain't got the money, right? I got a babysitter that's $20 an hour. I got this meal I got to pay for. We got these Ali Wong tickets we got to buy. But, like, but you do it, and it you got to date your spouse, man. You have to. You just have to. Because
I got a lot I could say, and I'm refraining from doing that.
Yeah, man, you don't want to be roommates. I was engaged with I was engaged before I met my wife, and this woman is she was a nice person, she was a lovely person, but we were not on the same page about marriage, which, you know, she accepted my marriage proposal, I get, but you know, we weren't on the same page about marriage. We weren't on the same page about kids. We didn't even sleep in the same bed together. Like, it was a disaster. And when you're in it, you don't see it. When you're in it, you do not see it. Jay saw it, and he's worried for me, right? But he's a friend, and he's like, all right, you know. But when you're in it, you don't see it. Until it's too late. And, seriously, open and honest communication about literally everything. If you don't take heed to that, in and of itself encompasses everything we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was our brief.
But also, but also talk about, like, those specific things ahead of time, yeah, too.
Yes. Yes.
Very much. I bet Gustavo got more than he bargained for with that answer. He also asked me, do I think Heung-min Son should have left Spurs like Harry Kane did? No, because I think that Heung-min Son has more productive years ahead of him than Harry Kane probably does in the English Premier League. So, and plus, Son is, you know, he's still happy to be at Tottenham. So, and then Cam finally says, who is the most likely person to be suspended following AEW All In? I feel like it's got to be,
I don't know,
Dash Wheeler, right? Like especially if this thing goes south with his fucking Dash, road rage.
Is it Dash Wheeler or is it Cash?
Oh, it's right. It's Cash Wheeler in AEW. Sorry, Dash Wheeler was his WWE name. So,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, didn't he just get arrested for, like, you know,
for road rage? He fucking flashed a gun at somebody because they made him mad on the road. Like, don't do that.
Just very normal adult behavior.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Is that going to be on pay-per-view? Are they airing that?
Like, they are airing it, yes.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'll watch it the next day. Jack Torrance.
I say I'm not paying no $50 for this shit.
I don't pay $50.
I know.
Get out of here.
Oh, so thank you guys for submitting those questions. Again, you can submit us questions that we will answer on the show by joining our Discord, posting in the post office at densepixels.com/fans. You can subscribe to this show as well as all the other fine TNP Studios podcasts wherever you download your podcast. Just search them up by name, and you can find them on there. And then, of course, go to youtube.com/densepixels. Subscribe to us there as well. Like the videos. Leave a comment on the videos. Preferably not about how you think that I'm some fucking right-wing asshole from south of Richmond in this fucking country. Because I'm not. I'm very liberal, actually. So that's it for this episode. Thank you guys very much for watching and listening. We'll see you all the next time.
See ya.
See ya.